It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
Welcome back. It's another edition of Not Playing with Lex and Dan. I'm Lex.
I'm Dan.
And it's your favorite podcast where people watch movies that they probably should have already seen. This season, Dan is showing me baseball movies that I haven't seen. And I don't know. I think it's been a home run so far.
Don't you, Dan? I see you've picked up the lingo.
Yeah. I'm basically a real baseballer at this point.
I thought you were going to say this is people's favorite podcast where Lex and Dan watch movies that most people have seen.
That's also true.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. There's another one of these out there.
Yeah. No, I'd be mad. But I'm very excited to watch today's movie with you, Dan, which you have told me is The Natural.
That is today's movie. Lex, what do you know about The Natural?
Robert Redford, and that is literally it. I don't know anything about what it's about. Because I had to queue it up to get ready to watch, I saw that it was made in the 80s, and now that is the extent of my knowledge about it. And when it's about baseball.
Yes. Oh, good. Excellent.
I assume somebody who is naturally gifted at baseball.
I actually think that is part of it, yeah. I have not seen this movie. You know, it's one of those movies occasionally you catch like a scene from.
You said you haven't seen this movie? Oh, I didn't realize that.
No, that's exciting. this is a new one for me too. I have definitely caught like a scene or two of it here, and there's a famous scene that I remember, which I guess I won't spoil, but there is a one particular scene slash shot in this movie that for whatever reason I must have caught like at summer camp or something. Like maybe somebody was watching it somewhere and I like saw that scene. But I think it is a well-known scene, and it involves a hit from the titular character. Yeah. And I believe it's a period movie, too, so set in the earlier, not, I want to say maybe early 1900s or something like that.
Period movies always 20s? The biggest risk for me for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, listen,
you don't like history. You don't like periods.
I'm doomed to repeat it. But I guess like I liked A League of Their Own, which was a history of, you know, set in an era of its own and is about baseball. So there's hope. But the movie has its work cut out for it. That's all I'm going to say. Like sometimes that's not my jam.
Well, we've watched some Redford movies though, and I think Redford does well for us. We've seen Sneakers.
I feel like you're just saying he's. Oh, I thought you were saying that all of his movies are set in old times. Like I thought
all of his movies, every movie. If Robert Redford, by virtue of being in a movie,
I like that old one. I was trying to think of any Robert Redford movie to put in there that's not. Indecent Proposal. That I like that one. That was in the 1800s, I think.
All proposals were indecent in the 1800s. No, we've seen. Let's see. I'm gonna throw out. I think we've seen at least three Redfords. We've seen Sneakers. Mm-hmm. We've seen All the President's Men, and we've seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Two of those last year.
Two of those very recently.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Redford, we like him. He's charming. So, let's see if he carries this one through, I guess.
For a long time, red was my favorite color, and red is the first half of his last name.
And you drove a red Ford, which was really right on the money there.
Just a big fan. But yeah, I really know very little, and I had no idea coming in that you hadn't seen this either, so I'm excited to watch it for the first time with you. We're going to experience it together.
Yeah, I've chosen a mix of baseball movies this year, some of which I have seen and some of which I have not seen. So this is the first of the ones I haven't seen, although I think it is widely regarded as a pretty good movie. So, I mean, no.
That's great.
That's good. We got that going for us.
And there is good news, Dan, for listeners who are like, man, they're going to get to watch this, but I can't watch along with them. I can't enjoy the experience with them. I'm so sad. There's good news for those people, is there not?
There is great news for those people, which is if they are members of The Incomparable, they can listen to our commentary track, which syncs up with the movie, and it'll be like they're right here watching with us. They can put on their Apple Vision Pros, and it's like we're just sitting right beside them in a creepy, ghostly persona. In order to do that, you do have to be a member of The Incomparable, but it could not be easier. You go to theincomparable.com/members, you sign up, you choose your plan, you choose which shows on The Incomparable Network get your support. We hope you'll choose Not Playing with Lex and Dan. And then you've got access to all sorts of great features, including bootleg episodes that are released before they're edited, extra member special content such as our commentaries, a ad-free feed of the main show, and access to The Incomparable member Discord, among other things. So, we really appreciate it. As you'll notice, this show, there's no ads on this show. This is a show that Lex and I do because we like doing this show, but also we appreciate all the support from members like maybe you, hopefully you.
I hope you.
Well, Lex, We have watched The Natural.
We sure did, Dan. And the folks who didn't listen along with the commentary track don't know we even had a little bit of a hiccup right at the start. I was watching a different version of The Natural from you. Same movie, but
maybe that one's
cut.
Better. Maybe should we go watch that?
Well, I'm just glad we figured it out because it was weird when we were seeing different things. Well, what'd you think, Dan? What'd you think of The Natural?
I enjoyed it. It's definitely more Field of Dreams than Bull Durham. Mm. It certainly has that, you know, you were talking about them sort of like laying it on a little thick, I think. And I mean, it's an allegory, right? Like, it is very much a movie that is about baseball as the sort of mythic, pure pastime and the battle over the soul of it as embodied by Robert Redford. And I enjoyed that element of it. I liked, I mean, like, it's not a movie where you're like, oh, there's lots of characters who are different shades of gray and where's the morality? No, it's very clearly a movie about good guys and bad guys. And I don't mind that when it sort of works. And I think because they're doing it as such a big picture, you know, sort of broad brush portrait, that kind of it played for me. And I like that there was some weird stuff with the, like, I did spend a lot of the first half an hour or so wondering, like, is he dead? Is he a ghost? Like, has he come back from the dead?
You raised the question, is this a, like, does this movie have a supernatural element to it? You were not sure.
I was not sure. No, I mean, then they would have called it the supernatural, but, you know.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it. I thought it was okay. You're right. Like, it definitely lays it on a little thick. And it's, we've talked about this in other contexts, but sometimes it's tricky when you're watching, let's say, in 2024 to handle some of the tropes when it's the movies that were setting the tropes, right? So you can't judge them unfairly saying, hey, that's so tropey, because maybe it was less tropey in the mid 80s right. when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I liked it. The movie wants you to have that same obsession with baseball that they do, and sure. I don't. But, I mean, Robert Redford, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with Robert Redford, especially in a part like this that is essentially the... I think Redford is at his best when he's playing the sort of the Boy Scout role, because he's so earnest and genuine and authentic in that.
I mean, that's just it. He comes off without it being, like, full of ego. And even when he has the conversation with, I guess, with Glenn Close, where he's like, hey, you know, my goal was I wanted everybody to say, hey, that's the greatest baseball player ever. He doesn't sound obnoxious when he says
right,
it. And
that's
very difficult to pull off.
I mean, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, man, I was raised never to really, like, I don't want to be a braggart. I don't want to be somebody who's like, but, like, he just, it's a pursuit of excellence thing, right?
Like, he doesn't care about saying that he himself was the best. He wants everybody to know he's the best, which is different. And he delivered it believably, not obnoxiously.
Yeah, exactly. And when he flashes that smile and everything, you're just like, yeah, I mean, I believe him. Like, and I think it's perfect casting because he is exactly the person you want to believe. I mean, I think about him in other movies, and he's always somebody I want to root for.
Yeah.
And I do here. And I think that really works. I think that, you know, a lot of the characters in this are arguably kind of two-dimensional because, again, I think they're sort of designed to be more metaphors and allegories than they are designed to be real people. I do think Wilford Brimley is great in this. I really enjoyed
Wilford Brimley as
the manager. I think he's a standout here. Duvall is just the slimy reporter like that as a character with no redeeming qualities, really. And I kind of enjoy that it's just like, you know, let's lean into that and kind of ham it up a bit. Basinger's character
is the one that
I struggle with the most because she just seems kind of like a pawn here. Although I think the implication at that very last scene when she pulls the gun and he says, we have met before, was that, you know, I think he kind of was likening her to the woman who shot him.
Yes. I think that was what we were supposed to take away from
so,
that moment.
And I will share with you, because as I was looking as we were talking, this is based on a true story. There was a player who got shot, a guy named Eddie Whitekus. He was had a starting career in 1949. He got shot by an obsessed fan, and then he had a comeback like several years later. So, like, you know, it's heavily fictionalized, etc. But like the base incident there is based on a true story, which I think is.
I also I was noting just now that the novel on which this is based,
yes,
ended differently. They were like, nah, let's make it a happier ending, which I get. We've all been there. I think that the happy ending was the right choice, certainly in the mid-80s. I think if this movie were made today, he probably strikes out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I get it. Like, we live arguably in a more cynical era, although even in the 1980s, I think you could probably say this was nostalgic even then, right? Like, in terms of, like, a, you know, it's certainly set in an earlier era, but also the idea of a game that is being played, like, you know, the Hobbs is playing for the love of the game, not the money, right? He's getting his $500 contract or whatever, which is not nothing, but he, as they say several times, he could be paid a lot more for this.
Yeah.
And I think people long for that idea of an older day where the game was the most important thing. And certainly now it's a business, and often feels more like a business than anything else.
Right. I would say that I thought everybody in this movie gave a good performance. Like, there were no actors who I thought were weak links. Mm-hmm. I did think some of the characters were weak links. Like,
sure.
Having three villains who are all just ready to be evil, I guess just for money's sake. It's like, okay, well, fine.
Again, you're fighting for the soul of the game, and it's all about how money corrupts and everything. But I get you. I mean, I enjoy Darren McGavin, who is Gus, the guy with the glass eye. I enjoyed you did not recognize him, but I know him best as the dad from A Christmas Story. He's been in a ton of things, but I enjoy his. There's a smarminess to him that I like, and a cocksuredness to him that I like. I think, you know, there's certainly the element to him that he's almost the devil, right? Like, there's an aspect of that played up, and certainly not the only time that sort of allegorical evil is tied in with baseball. I was thinking, if you're familiar with Damn Yankees, which is, I believe there was a movie at one point, but it's also a musical.
Yeah.
That's about essentially the Faust. It's Faust retold during the baseball season. Mm. And so it has almost an element of that too, right? Where they're like, can we corrupt this person, this pure of spirit person, who seems to just be in it for the love of the game. But if we can corrupt them, then we win, right? Like, it's got, yeah,
it
that
seems
larger,
like a foolish plan. Like, of all the people to go after that guy.
Well, but
like,
they go after the pitcher too, right? Like, so they're covering their bases, if you will.
So to speak.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was also a good looking movie too. I mean, for the time, like, I liked a lot of the scenes are well shot, well lit. I think I like that last sequence. Yes, they spent a lot of time in it, but clearly it was an expensive sequence. So with the lights exploding.
Yeah, so that final moment as the lights explode, boy, we luxuriate in that moment. And just the run around the bases, or the painful sojourn around the bases. I will say this. I thought it felt long. I'm glad we switched from my edit to yours, because that made the movie a little bit shorter.
That extra 5 minutes really would have.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't think it was bad, but it felt like sometimes we just spent a little longer than I needed to on some moments. Because, again, this movie is where I don't think that Robert Redford feels cocky. I think that the movie is quite pleased with itself.
Sure.
At some points. And that can get a little bit tiresome.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yes, you can make the argument.
See what we're doing here? You see it?
Huh? It's perhaps a little self-indulgent at some times. But, I mean, again, I think the sort of, they're comparing it to, like, you know, a fable, essentially. You know, I think there is I'm saying Bill Simmons has argued, any best sports movie list that doesn't feature either Hoosiers or the Naturals, the number one pick, shouldn't even count.
Oh, actually, I'll pause you there. Do you have a favorite sports movie?
Do I have a favorite sports movie? I mean, I think Field of Dreams is probably, like, I'm not a sports person usually.
Yeah.
But I do, I mean, I liked, you know, I liked Rudy, which again is another movie that we watched that I felt like, you know, it's certainly based on a true story, but obviously it has the makings of something that's more of a fairy tale, right? It is sort of a fairy tale movie.
I'm surprising myself with this, Dan, but I think my favorite sports movie is White Men Can't Jump.
Wow. I've never seen it. We'll have to do a basketball season.
Okay. That's the only basketball movie I've seen, I think.
I mean, I'm trying to remember if I've seen Hoosiers. Maybe. So, well, there you go. Anyways, yeah, I mean, like, again, like, there's lots of other things. Like, Roger Angel pointed out that Bernard Malamud, who wrote the novel, basically treated it like a King Arthur legend. You know, they've got the bat hewed from the tree with the lightning strike, and the team is the knights, and, like, all of that. Like, very clearly, it's not pulling any punches.
Right. There is no subtlety here, which is okay. And like I said, I thought this was good. I enjoyed it. I don't feel like I lost the time. Just not my favorite. I mean, if we're ranking from the beginning,
sure.
Bull Durham, more fun.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Well, I, you know, I mentioned, let's see, we saw Randy Newman did the music, which I did like. They said the score has often been compared to the style of Aaron Copland, which is exactly who it brought to me. Like when I was listening to it, I was like, this sounds like Copland to me. So I thought the music was pretty good. Barry Levinson, obviously, did the directing, who's done a ton of great movies, and I think he does a good job here.
And he was also the voice of the announcer, because they didn't have anybody to be the sports announcer, nice. So he did it all.
Nice. So yeah, overall, I was very pleased with it. I enjoyed it. It is, for what it is a very solid movie.
And I was pleased with it. So we went from pleased to very pleased. That's good. That's a pretty good range. No, it was good. And it's what I'm thinking about now as we are early in this season of not playing is making sure, you know, now that I've seen these films, I want to remember them for what they are. And do I have a fear that some of these could blend together as a sea of baseball movies in my mind? Yes. So I'm doing the work now to appreciate each for what it is, okay, and to let them stand on their own.
All right. Well, let us figure out what we're going to watch next time, shall we?
We shall.
You want to discover that live on the air with me as I...
I would love that.
I have random.org pick our next movie.
I believe it brings the random to you.
Well, all right. Well, here it goes. Man, it has not been that random every time I picked it. Okay, so next one up on the list. This will be an interesting move from this one. It has selected Eight Men Out.
Okay.
Any familiarity with that?
No, that seems like it's more baseball players than are supposed to be involved in an inning.
Traditionally, yes. So I guess
I know
we'll have to see.
Truly nothing about that movie.
Okay.
Are you sure it's a movie?
I am sure it's a movie. I have not seen, okay, this is on my not seen list, but I know a few things about it. But we'll discuss that next time. But I'm glad that you and I can sit down and watch The Natural together and experience that together. And honestly, you know, if I'm being truthful, just bask in the glory of Robert Redford's smile. I feel like a couple hours of that is not no bad thing.
Yes, you're not wrong. And it's just a real powerhouse of actors in that movie. Like I didn't know that we were going to see Redford and Close and Basinger and Brimley. Like it's just and Duvall, like a lot of good people in that movie.
I mentioned to you early on, and you were not familiar with the work, but Joe Don Baker shows up as a thinly veiled Babe Ruth allegory in the very beginning. I think of him most of all as the lead character in Mitchell, which was famously one of the best Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes. But he has showed up in a bunch of other things as oftentimes sort of like a big heavy. But yeah, anyways, enjoyed that.
Well, obviously, we'll be back soon to watch Eight Men Out. Eight Men Out.
Eight
a movie
Men
I know nothing about.
Out. Yes.
But until then, you know, Dan, you and our dear listeners should, of course, keep watching the pitches go by.
Yeah, keep watching those balls or strikes.
Oh my God. I didn't see the things you saw, so give me just a second to catch up. It did not start like this at all.
Oh, do we need to like go back and restart this movie?
Yeah, I had the credits on black.
Oh, I did not. So you didn't understand any of the comments I was making about the train or anything?
I had no idea what you were talking about. I thought
by
I
all means,
name,
man,
and you
speak
were making
up.
I thought you were making a name joke. This is insane. It started totally. It started with the credits on black, and I. Is this in the episode?
I would probably cut this because it's in the commentary, which is going to be a real problem.
Well, that's what I meant. Is this in the commentary?
No, I don't think so. I think that'll totally screw anybody listening.
We'll catch
I've done
up
that once
I catch up. I'm at 120, but I have to kind of watch this because I didn't see it.
Do you want me to go back? No, I know. This is, oh God, I don't even know what to do in this one. Well, at least we have screwed up only 4 minutes in this time.
Dan, I was basically watching a different movie.
What happened in your movie?
He was walking in a field.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even know what I was talking about because he caught a ball. Wait,
did
you see
it because of the ball? Where the little kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all I was in. I was still there.
Okay.
And then we had adult him. Oh, okay. Now I'm at the field. I'm 2 minutes in.
Boy, that would have been a weird episode.
Okay. He broke the chicken clucking thing.
Yep.
I'm a 250.
We're so good at this that we made these random jokes and you did not understand what the other person was saying. I just sort of accepted it.
That is so funny. Now I understand more of what you said. All right, she's yelling for Iris. Oh, I'm seeing the heart attack.
There you go.
Had you already seen that?
Yes, I saw the heart attack. And then there's a storm.
Okay, he's running to Dad. I think Dad died.
Yep.
Oh, thunder.